Laudator Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Monday, February the 6th, Pope Francis grieves the huge loss of life caused by earthquakes in Turkey and Syria. The continental phase of the Synod on Synodality ramps up with a major meeting in Prague. And we look back at Pope Francis' recent ecumenical pilgrimage of peace in South Sudan. In the Vatican, I'm Joseph Tollock. Pope Francis has said he is deeply saddened to learn of the huge loss of life caused by a powerful earthquake that has struck southeastern Turkey and northwestern Syria. The 7.8 magnitude quake rocked wide swaths of the neighbouring countries early on Monday morning. The Pope entrusted those who died to the loving mercy of the Almighty and sent his heartfelt condolences to those who mourned their loss. Likewise, he said that he prays that the emergency personnel will be sustained in their care of the injured and in the ongoing relief efforts by the divine gifts of fortitude and perseverance. The earthquake toppled hundreds of buildings and killed more than 1,500 people, as Nathan Morley reports.
The epicentre of the earthquake, which struck at 4 o'clock in the morning, was located near Gaziantep, an important industrial and manufacturing district which is close to the Turkey-Syria border. Turkey, which sits on the East Anatolian Fault, is one of the world's most volatile earthquake zones. Speaking to the media, the Turkish president, Tayyip Erdogan, said that at least 2,800 buildings had collapsed. To make matters worse, a second earthquake struck in the southeastern Turkey on Monday, with its epicentre around 80 miles from the original quake. Dr. Kerem Kenik is the president of the Turkish Red Crescent.
Unfortunately, 7.4 magnitude powerful earthquake hit the region, and 10 provinces have been affected from these big shocks. And we have many other big size aftershocks, and we have many damaged and demolished buildings, and we are at the hot hours for search and rescue.
Meanwhile, officials in Syria said at least 320 people were killed in the government-controlled areas, whilst rescue workers said at least 100 others died in rebel-controlled areas. Mohammed Hussein is a journalist based in the town of Kamishli in Syria.
According to Syrian government Ministry of Health, 239 people killed in Aleppo and Hama and Latakia. Most of them, they are in Aleppo. And about 600 people, they are wounded now. And still, until this moment, a lot of bodies, they are under rubbles in the opposition area.
The European Union is sending rescue teams to the region, along with assistance promised from Britain, Israel, Sweden, France and Germany. Neighbouring Greece is also mobilising its resources. Just 5 months ago, a magnitude 7 quake hit the Aegean Sea, killing 116 people and wounding more than 1,000. For Vatican Radio, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
In other world news, wildfires in Chile have killed 24 people, injured more than 1,000 and left hundreds homeless. James Blears reports on a national and international effort to put out the flames, save people and stop further farmland from being consumed.
Chile's president, Gabriel Boric, has declared a state of emergency in the southern states of Biobío, Nuble and Araucania. More than 260 wildfires, some of which started in tender dry forests, have scorched 250,000 hectares, including farmland in rural regions and homes in residential areas. Among the dead are motorists. The fires engulf their vehicles on blazing roads. The scorched earth spreads from central Chile, but it's mostly concentrated in the south. The prime reason is an ongoing heat wave. Temperatures recorded on the thermometer soared to a record 104 degrees, which is 40 Celsius. President Boric said, "I've seen the spirit of our people, and that will guide us during this difficult time. A coordinated international aid effort's underway to help tackle the fires and extinguish them. It comes from Argentina, Colombia, Brazil, Mexico, Paraguay, Peru, Venezuela, Portugal and Spain. Expert firefighters are joining those brave Chileans who are already battling the fires, and a water plane plus additional specialized equipment to help Chile in its time of dire need. Prayers to God. Earnestly hoping Mother Nature cools down and for rain, as the global climate is radically changing forever." For Vatican Radio, James Blair's reporting.
The continental phase of the Synod on Synodality is ramping up in the coming weeks, with continental assemblies taking place around the world. At the assemblies, delegates will discuss the working document for the Continental State, which was produced in October on the basis of consultations in local churches around the world. Sunday night saw the opening of the European General Assembly in the Czech Republic. At the meeting in Prague, Lithuanian Archbishop Gintaras Grušas spoke with Vatican Radio about the General Assembly.
The whole synodal journey is a journey of the whole church together. So it is the bishops, it is the people walking together along the road that Jesus and the Holy Spirit shows us. This assembly here in Prague is an opportunity to do that in a very special way. We are coming together with the bishops and representatives of the churches from throughout Europe, and it gives us a time of sharing, of exchanging our ideas, our cultures, our views of how things are working within the church in our own nations, to see that mosaic that is formed in Europe, and an openness to the Spirit, which the people gathered here will share, but also the bishops afterwards will have a time for discernment in our proper role as bishops. So the Holy Father had mentioned also in the synodal journey the role of the bishops in organizing the participation so that everybody participates, but not abandoning the mission that he has given us of discernment of where the church is going. It is a part of the role of the bishop both to lead, but not as manager, but as shepherd. And the Holy Father often repeats from in front, in the middle, and behind as he walks along. So we here in Prague are in the middle of the part of the people of God that are gathered to walk this part of the synodal journey together.
That was Archbishop Gintaras Grušas, the Archbishop of Vilnius, Lithuania, speaking there to Vatican Radio at the Synodal Continental Assembly for Europe. Now, Pope Francis has just returned from a trip to South Sudan, his 40th apostolic journey abroad. Vatican Radio spoke to Bishop Christian Calassare, who heads up the Diocese of Rumbek in the country. He discussed the violence in South Sudan, saying that the fault lies above all with the international arms trade.
Conflictuality in South Sudan is very complicated. There have been in the past this conflict from 2013 to 2019 that was very political, that then took also some ethnic colors. But this did not affect our diocese or the territory of our diocese. What really affected us was that in time of conflict, a flood of weapons arrived to the country. And these weapons were distributed to different communities so that they could keep security in their own place. But of course, when there are weapons, there is no security. We cannot keep safety because we have weapons.
What kind of message you, as one of the leaders of the Catholic Church in this country, what kind of message do you have to the faithful in view of the visit that Pope Francis has concluded?
To the people of South Sudan, I would say, first of all, never to lose hope. Never lose hope, because God is there and we are not alone. We are not closed in our country with our own problems and there is no way out. Where there is a will, there is a way. And there is a way when we are able to bind ourselves together as South Sudanese, getting beyond differences that are there, take courage to dialogue rather than being aggressive towards others, and to gain from prayer and from the blessing that we receive out of the sacraments and the blessing that we receive out of this visit, to take that optimism, that faith that can really make us facing obstacles and be able to overcome them, because there is no obstacle that cannot be overcome.
That was Bishop Christian Calassare there, speaking to Vatican Radio. The Pope's visit to the East African nation took the form of an ecumenical pilgrimage of peace in the company of the Archbishop of Canterbury and the moderator of the Church of Scotland. Together, they prayed with the people and challenged the country's political leaders to remain true to their pledges to work for the common good and to shy away from corruption and personal benefits. Niklas Gostonski is a political analyst and humanitarian expert with many years of experience in South Sudan. He comments on the spiritual leader's words and message during the ecumenical prayer on Saturday, in which the Pope said that those who choose Christ choose peace always. Those who unleash war and violence betray the Lord and deny his gospel.
The president was there, the first vice president was there, the five other vice presidents were there, sending a very strong message of the fact that you're not living a moral Christian life. The power of that is huge. But it's huge, I would say, not just to the leaders, but to everybody else in South Sudan who thinks that and who are usually not able to say anything resembling that due to political repression. So when you have the three leaders of the church who come and send such a clear, unequivocal message to leaders who claim to be Christian, that also is a way of empowering all the civil society actors who have been struggling to get their voices heard in the country.
We were watching images of this incredibly impoverished population who have nothing. And they seem to be very, very happy to receive the visitors.
Yeah, you know, it's very interesting. I was talking to a friend who is the country director of one of the largest faith-based humanitarian NGOs in South Sudan. And he was describing the feeling of the past few days as being somehow reminiscent of the joy of independence back in 2011, at least how it was felt in Juba. And I think this is a really powerful thing that we need to understand related to the level of suffering and sadness that the country has been in since 2013. So this has marked a really important moment. In many ways, it makes me think of my own personal background. I am from Argentina, and Pope John Paul II visited Argentina in 1987. And Argentina had undergone a military dictatorship, and tens of thousands of disappeared. It had undergone the Falklands War and a huge economic crisis and a very difficult transition to democracy. And the Pope's visit at the time in Argentina, I was a child, but he was felt as all of a sudden you feel you're not forgotten by the world. You're important. You're at the center of attention. And someone as important as the Pope is caring about you and caring about the way your country is going. So I can relate with all the differences with South Sudanese and how they felt after being virtually abandoned by the world since 2013.
That was Miklos Gostonji there, speaking to Vatican Radio's Linda Bordoni. And just briefly, before we wrap it up here, at least 34 people were killed in clashes between soldiers and anti-government protesters in a disputed town in Somalia's northern breakaway region of Somaliland earlier today, doctors and officials have said. The region's government said on Twitter that armed men attacked army bases and state offices. Early in the morning, it accused unnamed traditional leaders there of recruiting the attackers and said it had thwarted the assault. There was no immediate comment from any other side as to who might have been responsible. That brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, please do visit our website at www.vaticannews.va. And you can also catch the latest updates on our Facebook, Twitter and Instagram pages. Many thanks go to Gustavo Messina in the studio. In the Vatican, I'm Joseph Tulloch.